I feel you everywhere. I breathe you in the air. Oh God, come and take me over. From my head to my toes, Holy Ghost, fill me up. From my head to my toes, Holy Ghost, fill me up.
We're going to continue in our series we started last week called Who is the Holy Spirit? How many today say, I want to know the Holy Spirit in a real way, better than I'd ever known before in my life? Anybody here say that's my desire? That's all right. Yeah, you can give God a hand clap. That's fine. Let me, do I clap or not clap? If you want to know the Holy Spirit better than you ever had before, it's okay to say, yeah, I'm ready. All right, there you go. Yes. We're saying we are ready to know the Holy Spirit. Last week we opened up with answering the question, who is he? And we talked about the Holy Spirit as our helper. He's our comforter. He's our friend. He's my friend. And he's what? Not weird. How many know the Holy Spirit's my friend and he's not weird? There's some weird people, but the Holy Spirit's not weird. And he is my God. That we know that he is a part of the triune Godhead. When we say the word Holy Spirit, we know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, if you ever hear anybody ever say, be careful about churches who talk about the Holy Spirit, or be careful about churches that teach about the Holy Spirit, what they're saying is this: be careful about churches who teach about God. Be careful about churches who teach about Jesus, because we know that all three are the same according to Scripture. And so, we must realize that the Holy Spirit has a role for my life today. It's still very relevant. And we cannot admit something because we don't understand it. You know, I think that many times the name Holy Spirit is what kind of throws us off a little bit. I think, you know, sometimes I don't ever question God, but I think God, if God had named the Holy Spirit like Bill, it would have been much easier to understand, much easier to comprehend. You know, yeah, Holy Bill, that's been called Holy Bill. Anyway, if you named him Bill, that would have been a lot easier. That way, you know, formal churches who are really formal, they could call him William, you know. Let's worship William today. And churches that are kind of cutting edge, they could call him Billy for fun. And, you know, it could be right there. But, you know, there's something about the name, the Holy Spirit, that if we'll really understand what is in the name, that really his name is defined. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit's name? It's God. It's God. You know, and the Holy Spirit defines who he really is. It's the Spirit of the living God that is given inside of you and I. So when we realize what the Holy Spirit actually means, you know, if I said, you know, Holy Bill's living inside of me, you guys are like, okay, all right. That's kind of freaky thinking about Bill living inside of me. But I can understand that the living Spirit of the living God is living inside of me. I can comprehend that. I can accept that easier. And so really the name function here is very clear, that it's the living God Spirit that is placed upon you and I. As Christians, we receive his Holy Spirit. His name is God. God, the Holy Spirit. What makes someone a person? You ever think, thought about that? What makes someone a person? Is it being created? Make someone a person? That chair you're sitting on today has been created. Is that chair a person? No, it's not, is it? Well, is someone who's living? Does someone living constitute a person? Well, the tree outside is living. Is it a person? No. And if you're a tree hugger today, please, no hate mail, okay? We're talking about, so you go hug the tree all you want to. Let's don't cut them down. Let's plant them. You know, I'm all for that, okay? Let's go green. Let's go green. Yay, green, okay? But I'm getting a point across here is a tree doesn't have a personality. A tree doesn't have a soul. What really constitutes a person is the personality. It's the soul. The soul of a person constitutes that person being a person. He has a soul. What does a soul have to do with you and I? Let's look and see what the Scripture says about God and his soul. Let's look what Matthew 12, 18 says. This is God talking. He says, behold, my servant who I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my what? Soul is well pleased. God is saying that he's well pleased. His soul was well pleased in his son. God spoke out and said, I have a soul. My soul is well pleased. Look at Matthew 26, 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. Jesus is talking and says, my soul is sorrowful. Hebrews 10, 37 and 38, as Paul is teaching about some of the Holy Spirit, says, for yet a little while, for he who comes, who's coming, will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Why is it important that we find out, is the Holy Spirit a person? This is a very, very important part of our understanding in our Christian walk, is this, that if the Holy Spirit's going to become my best friend, I've got to see him as a person. I've got to realize who he is and that he has emotions, he has thoughts, he has a mind, he has direction, he has a will for my life. And for me to, you've heard me talk about last week that I have learned to develop over time a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, that it takes time to develop that. Just like you have lifelong friends that you have learned to develop over time, and that person becomes your best friend over times when you cry together and you share together and you laugh together and you grow together, and it takes time. Someone's not your best friend overnight. But if you didn't put that label on somebody as your best friend, now you may like hanging around somebody new. You may like the person they are, but for you to say they're your best friend, it takes time to develop that relationship. Correct? Okay. So for you and I to say the Holy Spirit is our best friend, it takes time to develop that relationship. And it's a relationship that every one of us in here can have with the Holy Spirit. My goal here, my prayer is that everyone in this room could say over time that the Holy Spirit is their best friend. And so we must identify that the Holy Spirit is a person. Identifying that he is a person allows me to understand that I can have this personal relationship. Our soul is what? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's how we classify a soul. We have a mind, a will, and emotions. We can put it our thoughts, our desires, our feelings. So if we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, he possesses what? The Holy Spirit possesses the thoughts, the desires, and feelings of God. So inside of us is the Holy Spirit who possesses the thoughts, the feelings, and desires of God. We know that the Bible says that God is omni, all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present everywhere. What is all-knowing? He is mindful. He's got to have the knowledge. He is all-powerful. He has a will. His all-presence. We can feel his presence everywhere, right? We felt his presence very heavily here this morning. We felt his presence very strong here this morning. That's the Holy Spirit allowing God's presence, his omnipresence, to be here. So let's dig into this. Let's identify this. Number one, the Holy Spirit, understanding he is a person, that he has a mind. He has a mind. Isaiah 55, 8. Look what it says about him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Why would he say my thoughts are not your thoughts if he didn't have thoughts, right? So we see here that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. He has thoughts. John 16, 13. A scripture we have read quite a bit lately. Look what it says. However, when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. How can he tell us all truth if he doesn't have knowledge of all truth? See, this is a big thing. We must realize that he is walking in all truth. You ever thought about this question? What is God's IQ? What's God's IQ? You know, they said Albert Einstein had an IQ of 209, one of the highest ever recorded. He just slightly higher a few points than mine, but he got there a few hundred, maybe. That's all right. Anyway, it's 209. Does God have an IQ? You ever thought about that? Does God have an IQ? You know, how can you measure all knowledge? You can't. He doesn't have an IQ because it's unmeasurable. His knowledge is unmeasurable. You ever think about this? That nothing just occurs to God. You know, you and I, we have great, brilliant thoughts, and it just occurred to me. And you had this great thought. It's never happened to God. It doesn't happen because you realize God can never think of anything he's never thought of. He's got all knowledge. He is all knowledge, all knowing, all wisdom. Everything is inside of him. And so we can't measure his IQ because we know he is all knowing. He has a mind and is full of all wisdom. And this is the good news about the Holy Spirit. The good news is this, that living inside of us, He knows everything about everything. That living inside of us as Christians, that the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. So do you think that if I have the ability to tap into somebody who knows everything about everything, that I should draw close to this person? Duh, right. We should get to know who the Holy Spirit is. We should get to develop this relationship because he has all knowledge. And the Word of God says he will guide us into all truth. And this happens when we develop this personal relationship that I'm talking about today. He's committed to leading us in all truth. And number two, he has a will. This is very clear in Scripture that the Holy Spirit has a will. Look what Acts 16:6 says. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. They were what? Forbidden by who? Good, you got it. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, this is an awesome scripture because we see where the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, Silas, Timothy, listen to me. You're doing it wrong. Yes, Asia needs the gospel. And we see where Asia came back and they were permitted to preach the gospel there later. But for the time being, the Holy Spirit was wanting him to get to Macedonia. Okay, he was trying to get there and he was trying to get him to get the gospel at the hub of a place where the gospel would spread. And so it was important. The Holy Spirit forbid him to preach there as it go to a different place. So we find out here that the Holy Spirit has a will. And if we will learn to tap in to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will learn God's will for our life. We will learn to see what the Holy Spirit is saying, what he's telling us to do. If the Holy Spirit knows God's will for us, then don't we think we should get to know the Holy Spirit? Let me say again, if the Holy Spirit knows God's will for our life, then shouldn't we get to know the Holy Spirit? That's good. It's very important. See, the Bible gives us a general knowledge of what God's will is for my life. If you want a place to start, right here, okay? There is a general will that God has placed in Scripture that every one of us is relevant to our life. I find out God's will for my life by reading the Bible. It's right here. And the good news is this, that it's just not partial there. It's all for me. And so I can find out Carlos's will by reading Scripture. I can find out God's will for my life by reading Scripture. I can find out God's will for Chris by reading Scripture. I can find out God's will for Jen by reading Scripture. It tells me right there. And the same will for her is the same will for me, that God has a basic outline of his will put in Scripture. So for someone to say that they don't know what God's will for their life, they really need to open up the Bible and read, correct? All right. But for every one of us, there is a personal will as well that God has for our life. That he's got a personal will that he is wanting us to operate on a daily basis. And this happens when we tune in to hearing the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Holy Spirit will speak to us and direct us on his will for our life. The voice of the Holy Spirit tells me the direction. Jesus said, I still have many things I want to say to you. And I will reveal them to him by the Holy Spirit. It will come and he will teach you. He says the Helper will come and he will teach you many things. This is very important. We must realize this, that Jesus said, hey, man, it's important that I go away. I mean, I would love it if Jesus was here today, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be awesome if Jesus was still here walking the earth today? But can you imagine trying to get to Jesus if he was actually walking the earth here today? Especially today with the way the transportation is and the media and the internet and things that are out there. I mean, you could never get close to him. You'd be lucky to catch a glimpse on a Jumbotron somewhere sort of, you know, forever away. You could never get close to him. People would be just flocking him, getting to him, and you would never have the ability to hear him. You'd never have the ability to see him. So Jesus said, for this reason, it is good that I leave, because when I leave, I'm going to release my spirit. And let me tell you this, this is what's exciting about the Holy Spirit is this. That 2,000 years ago, there was generations who went their whole life and never heard the voice of God. We find a period in time where 400 years, well, God never spoke to anybody. And when he did speak to people in that generation, many times he would speak to one person. In 100 years, he'd speak to one prophet. He'd speak to one person. Only the priests who were ordained and sanctioned could go in too. The holies of holies. And if you dared step one toe into the holies of holies in God's presence, you would fall over dead. I mean, it was a very very rare thing that you are able to hear the voice of God. And so now, this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Because now he says on the cross, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, that he becomes the new covenant, and that the veil of the temple was ripped in half, and now the Holy Spirit has been released unto all, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that his Spirit's being released, that he is speaking to you and I. He's speaking to you and I. You and I have the ability to hear God's voice. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up after the upper room experience, when the Holy Spirit had been released, and man, they're speaking in a different language, and this fire is setting upon them as the Holy Spirit, and things are changing, and people are coming to see what's going on. And Peter stood up, and he said, listen, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. No longer is there going to be one prophet every 100 years, but your sons, your daughters are going to hear God's voice. Wow, that's you and I. He said, we're going to hear God's voice. Our children are going to hear God's voice. He says, your young men, they're going to dream dreams, and your old men are going to see visions. And for the record, I'm dreaming dreams, just so you know that. I'm still dreaming dreams. He says that God's Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. He's going to allow it to happen, man. So this is the exciting thing, that you and I live in a time when the God of the universe not only died for us personally, but then gave us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to become personal friends, to become a personal relationship with. How dare we not develop it? How dare we not ignore it? How dare we don't listen to the voice of God that's in our heart, the voice of God that's living inside us as Christians? The voice of the Holy Spirit is wanting us to know and hear him. You cannot have a personal relationship with somebody through somebody else. It's impossible. It may work in first grade. In first grade, you may be able to say, you go tell that girl that I like her, and that, you know, at lunch, I want to sit by her at lunchtime. He likes you, and we'll just have him at lunch, and, you know. Well, you tell him that I'll split my sandwich and he can have a cookie. You want to trade milk? I mean, it works in first grade. But how many know you try that in high school, it doesn't work? Dude, go ask the girl out for yourself, you know. I'm not your keeper, dude. Go talk to this girl. How would you like it today if I went to Carlos? I was like, Carlos, hey, would you go ask my wife where she'd like to go on vacation this summer? Then get back to me, let me know. He was like, Pastor, go ask her yourself. I ain't paying for this vacation. You are. Go find out what your wife wants. Don't ask me to go find out what your wife wants. I mean, it makes no sense. How about something really intimate? How about, you know, I say, hey, Tom, you know, when you first get married, hey, Tom, can you go ask my wife how many kids she wants for our life? Well, just go ask her. Find out. It makes no sense, does it? It wouldn't happen. See, because that person cannot have a personal relationship, intimate relationship, through another person. It only happens when one-on-one takes place. It only happens when I talk to her one-on-one and find out what's going on in her life. What are her dreams? What are her thoughts? What are her desires? And she hears from my heart and see what I'm going. That's just how we grow intimate. I cannot have a personal relationship with somebody through somebody else. I can know them acquaintance-wise, but I cannot have a personal developed relationship with my best friend through somebody else. That's one-on-one, isn't it? So I say to say this, that I cannot develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit for you. As your pastor, I cannot be the person who is the go-between you and the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn to go to the Holy Spirit yourself. You've got to learn to talk to the Holy Spirit yourself. I have people who all the time, who probably one of the most asked questions in the Christian faith, and surveys reveal this question a lot. At the top right there is, how do I know the will of God for my life? That's the home run question. People want to know, how do I know really the will of God for my life? It's a good question to ask, and I will tell you this, that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. But you got to ask. You got to listen. You got to talk. One time I had somebody come to me during church, and they got to church, and I'm like, Pastor, I've had a rough week this week, and I just blah, 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 blah. Hey, if God gives you a word for me, can you just hear for God for me? Can you just hear for God and give me the word that God's given you? And if you guys know me, that kind of irked me a little bit. And so because of the whole concept of, you know, being a spiritual guru. You know, you go, hey, you hear God for me. Just tell me what God's telling you, you know, in the way that they said it. And so I kind of blew them off. And then as I was thinking about it during service, believe it or not, God actually gave me a word for him. Can you believe that? God actually gave me a word for him. So I went and got him. I said, hey, come here. I got a word for you. God says this. He says he wants to talk to you personally. Be in his office tomorrow morning. I believe God told me that. And I told him, he looked at me like, wow, whoa, okay. You get the point. You get the point. Okay, you know what I'm saying? That God wants to talk to you personally. He wants to talk to me personally. He wants you to understand. Listen, I can hear God with you, but I don't hear God for you. Let me say again. I can hear God with you. You can say, Pastor, I believe God's telling me this. I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me here. And I can say, you know what? That agrees with my spirit. I believe God is telling you that. I can agree with you, but don't come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't know what job to do. Can you pray and tell me what God's will is for my life? No. You pray and hear God's will for your life. He is speaking. He will reveal all truth to you. He will reveal all truth to me. He doesn't just speak to me because I'm a pastor. He speaks to me because I listen and obey. And the more I listen, the more clear it becomes. The more I obey, the more he talks. Have you ever spoke to somebody who didn't listen to you? You know what I'm talking about. Ladies, if you start talking to your husband and he never listens to you, what do? Eventually, you kind of, oh, he didn't want to say anything to him again. I'm just going to quit talking. He'll never listen to me anyway. And then he's 2 weeks later, what's wrong with you? You never talk to me anymore. What's wrong? Well, you never listen to me when I do talk to you. It's a natural response when someone doesn't listen that we stop talking. So could it be that the reason why you're not hearing the voice of God is because you haven't been listening? See, it takes me to listen, tuning in, but it's there. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to develop that kind of relationship where we tune in. The way to know the will of God is to know him, is to know the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, he has emotions. And this is a very, very important part of the sermon today. I really want you to get this emotion thing, because he has emotions. Look what Galatians 5:22 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we know that when the Holy Spirit, what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to produce in my life is he's going to give me a power to love like I've never loved before. He's going to give me a power to have joy in my, he's going to give me a power to have peace in my life, to have long suffering, to have kindness, to have gentleness, to have goodness, faithfulness. He's going to give me self-control that I haven't showed before. See, this is what happens when I yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show self-control. But is love an emotion? Yes, it is. Is joy an emotion? Is peace an emotion? Yes, these are all emotions that we feel. And so the Holy Spirit brings emotion, the emotion of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we realize this. Let's prove it here in Ephesians 4:30. It backs up what we're talking about right here. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Is grief an emotion? Yes, it is. Grief is an emotion. And so we see here, it is possible for you and I to grieve our best friend. It's possible for you and I to grieve this person. And verses 25 through 29 and verses 31 and 32, they talk about the whole concept of what grieves the Holy Spirit. It's talking about basic sin, and it talks about lying and stealing and about talking slander and talking about people and having unforgiveness. Talking about general sin. This is not trying to point out that one sin, but it's just bringing a general overview of sin. Sin. This sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And as we read this many times, I think we don't really comprehend what's really being said here in the Scripture, because we think that the sin is what's grieving the Holy Spirit. And let me say to you, the sin is not grieving the Holy Spirit, because Jesus already took care of sin. He had already redeemed sin. He had already taken care of that. When we live in grace and we've asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, we're walking in grace. So is he upset at me because I have messed up in my life and I failed? No, he's upset because he hates sin and he hates what happens to people because of sin. He loves you. His son died for you. So he knows the effect of sin in our life. He knows the effect of addiction. He knows the effect of our attitudes. And he knows the effect of continual sin in our life. And he loves people. He knows that sin hurts people. It hurts us personally, and it hurts other people around us. It hurts our children. It hurts our family. And sin affects people. So he hates that. But what grieves him? Think about it. What is grief? Grief is simply the mourning of a loss of a relationship. And so we know this to be a fact, that if you lose somebody close to you, you mourn the loss of that relationship. Even Christians who have lost somebody, and they know that person's a Christian, and they know they're going to spend eternity in heaven with them, they still will grieve the loss of the earthly intimacy they have here on this earth. They will still grieve the loss, even though they know they'll spend eternity in heaven, they still have times of grieving the loss of that intimate relationship. So this is where it gets really good. So why does the Holy Spirit grieve? Because when we allow our emotions, when we allow our attitude, when we allow our sin to rule our life, we are separating ourselves from the voice of the Holy Spirit. We are walking out of intimacy. And the Holy Spirit will actually grieve the intimacy that you and I were designed to have with Him. Isn't that huge? That we grieve the Holy Spirit because it's longing to have a personal relationship with you and I. The Holy Spirit is longing for you and I to have this personal relationship full of power, full of the voice of God, full of the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it grieves it when we don't give it the attention it needs. It grieves it when we don't function in the way that we were designed to function. This is important in our life today. Is it important that Is it possible for somebody to be married and live under the same roof, live in the same home, and to lose intimacy? It is, and we all know this. If you've been married for any point in time at all, you know it's possible, even though to be married, to lose intimacy, that you have to continue to work on building intimacy with your spouse. If you do not spend time with your spouse, if you do not communicate with your spouse, if you do not show affection to your spouse, if you do not listen to your spouse, you will lose over time. You lose the intimacy that you have. So the same thing happens in our life. When we don't listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we don't spend time with the Holy Spirit, when we don't follow the Holy Spirit, we lose intimacy. Even though we're living in the same house, even though my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, I can lose the intimacy with the Holy Spirit that He's always designed for me to have. So the question today is this: do I want to develop that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? I do. Let's bow our heads this morning. Is everybody just bowing your heads this morning? I want to ask you a personal question. First of all, the most important question we ask today, and it's simply this, is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, first and foremost? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and today, first of all, we're just asking this question: do you know who Jesus is? Do you know His Son, Jesus, died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins? And today, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. I need to confess that I am a sinner and confess that I need Him in my life. I want to get into right standing with God. I want to make sure heaven's my home, but I want to today, I want to change who I am. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed it a long time ago and say, Pastor, I've been so far away from God. Today, I want to come back and I just want to renew my relationship with Jesus. If you're here today, I will not embarrass you one bit at all. Nobody's looking around, but I want to give you that chance to respond today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ today, with nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hands and say, that's me? Raise a high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to raise a high? That's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Let me see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Thanks, guys. I'm being honest today. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One more time. If you haven't raised your hands yet, you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to do that. Raise it right now. That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Raise a high. We're going to say this prayer. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, and especially those who raise your hands. Today, I want you to say this prayer. Repeat it after me and say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am, all of my sin, all of my dreams, all of my hurt. I give it over to you. I believe your son, Jesus, is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, that's a neat thing. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, you can stop by our information booth in the back. Got a free Bible and some other information that tells you what you need to do next in your journey. It's a new journey. You got to be involved with people who will support you, people who will love on you. So if you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you back here. Come, be faithful. Get around people who can support you in your new decision for Jesus Christ. How many today say, "Pastor, I want to learn to develop my relationship with the Holy Spirit in a personal way. I want to learn to make the Holy Spirit my best friend." Anybody here today? Say, "I'm realizing this now." I'm going to invite us. Let's all stand to our feet today. We're going to sing a song that says how he loves us. And it's a very intimate song. It says that he's jealous for me. How many know we can be jealous when we give attention to other things? When our spouse doesn't give us attention we need, we get jealous, don't we? It's a very natural reaction. It says that he's jealous for me. He loves me like a hurricane coming, surrounding me. Today I want you to sing the song, and I want you to think of the personal commitment that Jesus has given to you and I. Not only through the salvation and dying on the cross, but he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, to develop an intimate relationship. Oh, how he must love us.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of the sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Yeah.
We are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all seeking. So heaven meets earth like the sweet tender kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain it or regret when I think about.
Yes, Father, you love us, God, today. So with our hands raised this morning, we say, Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. God, we surrender to your Holy Spirit in our life. God, may your Holy Spirit come alive in our hearts, in our soul, in our spirit. Lord, may we learn to hear your voice and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit daily in our life. God, forgive us of losing intimacy with you. And God, I pray right now, God, there is just a revival, God, of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And God, there is a revival, God, of your Holy Spirit renewing your relationship with people. And God, we're seeing your Holy Spirit differently. God, we're seeing our relationship with you differently. And God, daily, God, you're wanting to talk to us, to commune with us. So God, it's with our hands raised that we say, we give you everything we are. With our hands raised that we surrender our life to you. God, may you change us. May we never be the same in Jesus' name. May we never be the same. But may your Holy Spirit empower us. May your Holy Spirit begin to come and baptize us. May your Holy Spirit come and engulfing us, God, changing us for who we are. May we develop that relationship with you in the name of Jesus. Now, if you believe that today, put your hands together and submit it in the Spirit. Say, yes, so, and may it be. Yes, so, and may it be. Come on, say it.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves
us. So tomorrow morning when I get up, what are you going to say? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll, okay? Let's try it one more time. Let's say, good morning, Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Holy Spirit.
Let's roll.
Let's roll.
Amen. You believe that today? I believe God is going to do something great as we learn to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you get plugged into a small group tonight. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.